Next case, please.
First case of old business this evening is case number 12,239. Jason and Stacey Harshberger seek a special use exception to build a dwelling stick-built modular in a non-conforming mobile home park, sections 115 to 10 of the Sussex County Zoning Code.
Okay. Let's start with Mr. Sharp. Would you explain to us the legal aspects to be considered?
Yeah, there's a lot to digest here, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity here to kind of explain, Mr. Chairman. You may recall this was one that had initially come before the county in about the spring of 2017 for the folks who were looking to put a stick-built dwelling in a manufactured home park. They came to Ms. Cornwell, and she, as the director, determined that there was no available remedy within the code for what they sought. That then was appealed to the board, and in September of 2017, a hearing was held, after which the board affirmed Ms. Cornwell's decision. That decision was subsequently appealed to Superior Court, and the Superior Court affirmed in part and denied in part, and the denial was essentially to the point that there were four other lots within this manufactured home community, which is a non-conforming manufactured home community in MR district. And that community, the court found that the board was arbitrary and capricious for not going back and looking at why it had considered the cases previously. So you may recall that during the hearing that we had here tonight, last month, that was a question that was posed to the applicant as to, you know, the reasons for that. In your packet was included copies of the applications and decisions for those four previous cases. We gave that to you because that was part of what you were to look at. So the issue here, and there's quite a bit that I want to run through here, so please bear with me. In the code section that is at issue is section 115-210A3I, and that is a general section about special use exceptions, and it has certain ones listed, and in this specific one it says, and I quote, "A determination in cases of uncertainty of the district classification of any use not specifically named in these regulations, provided, however, that such use shall be in keeping with uses specifically permitted in the districts in which such use is to be classified." So essentially you have a special use exception, but you also have this determination component that has to be made as well. In all of the four prior cases that came before the board regarding Simpson's Mobile Home Park, they were all advertised as special use exceptions to build a dwelling in a mobile home park, or something very similar to that, as far as the actual advertising for it. But they all reference in the application that same section of code. But when you go back and you look at the actual decisions, there is never a determination made pursuant to what I just referred to in 210A3I. So that was something that was a little unique. So when we go back and look at it, I think, you know, there's a couple things here that you all need to look at. The first is, and I would encourage you to make a determination on both parts. The applicant has filed this special use exception. So the first kind of threshold question that I think the board needs to consider is, does 210A3I apply? Is that something that is applicable to what the applicant is seeking? If so, you need to make a determination and actually determine what is this uncertainty, what is the use not named in the regulation. If not, if you don't think it applies, then you need to examine why you did so and the board approved such cases in this park in the past. Then the second part of this analysis is the normal special use exception analysis as to whether or not the proposal substantially affects adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. That, I think, was the focus of much of what you heard from the opposition and for a significant part of what the applicant had proposed as well. So I think there's a kind of a two-part analysis that you all need to go through is this. I think it would be important to do that, to decide on both of those points and make a ruling there. I will note that, you know, there were some parts in the hearing and in the record, and I know Ms. Cornwell had given a pretty detailed memo and presentation at the hearing. There was also a lot of detail in the transcript from the prior case that was included as well about some of the challenges at the staff level that staff encountered with it, as well as even a case where this section of code did apply, where there was a pool cover. There was a fence that had, somebody had asked to say, to use an electronic pool cover, which is not something our code specifically addresses, and they sought a special use exception, which had that two-part analysis. One, that determination part, and then two, the substantial adverse effect part. That was a case where that came up in using that section of code more recently. So that was something that Ms. Cornwell had raised at the prior hearing, and I also note that the memo that was provided to you by Ms. Cornwell had indicated that there's belief at staff level that that section of code had not been used appropriately previously. So it's up to you all to make an examination of those prior cases, make those that determination, and to make findings one way or another. So
where in our code does medium residential districts address mobile home parks?
They are not permitted in a mobile home in the MR district. The issue is that this was a non-conforming manufactured home park. It is one that predated zoning, and because of that, it is allowed to continue being used and such. You may recall that Ms. Cornwell had testified at the first hearing, and then it was also at this past one, it was noted in the record that a manufactured home within those parks could be replaced with another manufactured home.
And they have done that most recently. They sent us pictures.
There was a case, I recall, that had that.
Gave us pictures.
Within the last year, 18 months or so.
And I guess since they're not allowed, is the reason that we probably approved the other four houses or...
What do you mean they're not allowed? They were allowed.
Well, the code addresses that you're not allowed to have a mobile home park in a medium residential district. But
where
there
is non-conforming, it is allowed.
Okay, but you're allowed to have mobile home parks, but I'm not so sure that we didn't. I don't know. What our reasoning was, because I don't think it was very clearly stated, and it wasn't a question before when we approved the others.
I can tell you this.
But before us, the only question before us at the time, as I recall, was, will it substantially affect adversely the use of neighboring adjacent properties?
Right.
So our assumption would be that, you know, it's non-conforming, and a medium residential district does not allow mobile home parks, therefore, you know, we could approve them. It wasn't a question before for us.
And based on your findings, that would, when you go back and you look at those, there was no discussion in the findings or a determination made.
Right.
There was only a discussion and a determination made as to whether or not the substantial adverse effect standard had been met.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you call it then?
Because it was the assumption that an entity, be it the director or whomever, accepted the case, and we were to hear it, and we heard it as a special use exception. And our assumption must have been that a medium residential district couldn't have a mobile home park, and therefore this non-conforming issue could then, you know, be other than non-conforming. I don't know.
But that was brought to us.
That does how it was brought to us. That what?
From the office.
So there you go. So we had no question. That's why we did it that way.
Yeah, when we brought to us from the office that way, but who else was in there?
Well, here it is. The record is here in our information. And this was Mr. DeCristo. Testified that there was modular homes. But there was also stick built also.
And I believe the first one would have been in 2004, 2005.
2004.
Now, Mr. Class says he was putting up a proposed modular home on pilings.
It's non-conforming. Yeah, I guess you could assume that either could be put in. I don't know. It's all a matter of interpretation at this point. It's a catch-22 situation.
Absolutely.
And it's so, you know, I think that... at any level, it would be a difficult decision.
I think we just have to be careful of how we move forward, and we need to come up with some type of, use that reason that you gave as to why the others were approved.
Okay.
Because...
I would entertain a motion then.
The only thing, you know, at the last hearing, we were shown a home that was recently put up in conformity. It was a modular home on pilings.
Okay. Not so, a modular,
manufactured home.
Manufactured home. So, I mean, it can be done.
Or we could make a special use exception because, you know, mobile home parks can't be in medium residential districts. Mm-hmm.
We need some clarification.
So
that is it clarification or is it interpretation? That's what we go back to.
Yeah, it's a catch 22.
What you need to do is make a determination whether or not the code recognizes a use, and if it doesn't, then would that use be similar to other uses permitted in the code? Like back to the pool cover, code doesn't reference the pool cover, but it would be similar in a security type thing that would function as a fence to ensure that nobody can get into the pool. In this case, the code clearly says it's a manufactured home park, can't have a single family home in a manufactured home park. So,
but it's a medium residential district.
But it is a medium residential.
Where you can't have a mobile home park.
Right, but you also can't have the manufactured home parks also do not allow stick-built or modular homes within a manufactured home park.
It's catch 22.
Yeah, but that's it.
Well, I don't know where the catch 22 keeps coming in because, okay. And I only say that respectfully because it's a, you know, like a non-conforming use. So whether it was a manufactured home park or whether you had a commercial business on a piece of ground, it's the use of the property. The use of the property is not, they are continuing to use this as a manufactured home park in that it is leased land and the folks are owning the units on top of them. I know there was some testimony about the 99-year leases and those being fee simple lots, but the bottom line is when the zoning code was created, this was a manufactured home park and it was continuing as such. So that's the use. They have a right to replace a manufactured home with a manufactured home and a manufactured home park.
Judge Bradley asked us to consider why we approved the previous ones.
I think the issue there, we don't
really have clear
vision
of why.
I think that's a fair point. The thing that when you look at, though, and this is why I think it's important to look at the actual applications and the advertising and the minutes and the findings. When you go back and you look at that, the only place where this section of code is referenced is on the actual application. There's no reference in the minutes. There's no reference in the findings to that section of code. In fact, it is in there as a special use exception to build a dwelling in a manufactured home park. There is no specific line item in our code that allows for that. There's nothing in 210A1A3I or anywhere else that has that specific one. So
how do we for previous ones?
Yes, yeah.
Based on that statement,
does that not catch 22?
You can determine that 210III doesn't apply.
Well, and that's the part. If that doesn't apply, then what part of the code does apply? What's been proffered by the applicant is that that's the part that's there.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I think if you go back and you look at the, you know, you listen to the record on that, the applicant through counsel has alluded that, you know, the previous director likely was working with people on these and trying to come up with ways that it could be used. Ms. Cornwell is, in her memo, says that she believes it was handled inappropriately, that section of code. So, you know,
with it being a VE flood zone, I understand administration trying to work with people that don't want to put a mobile home in a VE zone.
Even though it's on pilings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot more to a VE zone than just pilings. VE zone is the front line of attack. I mean, on Coastal Highway, the only houses on the ocean side of Route 1 that are VE zone is oceanfront. That's for a reason. The next house in is not VE.
It's a problem because of the inlet, this is.
And this is on the inlet.
And it makes the adjacent areas vulnerable to a floating home or, you know, a danger to other properties.
Sure, you can put a mobile home on pilings. You can do virtually anything.
We've had situations where they put holding tanks in Delaware Bay and they ended up in the middle of the bay.
It's very complex.
Wow.
So Jamie, are they going to look into that? Change something up?
As far as
in the code,
I mean, obviously, legislatively, you know, the zoning code can be changed. I mean,
yeah.
We see the ordinance changes all the time. Whether or not that's something on the docket, I don't know. But this specific section of code has been there, I believe, since the code was adopted. It is, and the applicant's attorney and I have both kind of gone, this is a weird section of code when you look at it. I think it's because that's rarely used. It's not something that you would see a lot. I don't recall this coming up very often before the board. Not even
in other mobile homes. I mean, I think it is unique because of the
location.
Well, it very well may be, and perhaps that's, you know, I don't know why it came up before, but the issue that we run into is this isn't as though there's not something in our code that addresses these uses. This section of code, when you read it, when you actually just digest the words there and kind of go through it, it's for something that the code really hasn't necessarily contemplated. So like that electronic pool cover that could be a substitute for a privacy security fence for a pool, the code didn't really contemplate that. So this is a way to recognize that and give kind of a catch-all. I hate using the term catch-all, but some sort of a relief valve, so to speak, rather than just absolutely prohibiting it. When you talk about mobile home parks, we do have provisions in the code that talk about that. When you talk about stick-built dwellings, we do have provisions in the code to deal with them. So those are not things that are absent from the code. They are there.
But don't apply to this part of it. Or not necessarily apply to this part of it.
So here it goes. I'll read it again, just because I know it is complex. A determination in cases of uncertainty of the district classification of any use not specifically named in these regulations So that's where I keep going, that something the code isn't contemplating.
But it does contemplate it because it is a mobile home park, correct?
It doesn't contemplate the fact that it became a VE zone long after it was a mobile home park.
Correct.
In a medium residential district.
In a medium residential district.
And it's all come back because they just asked us for a special use exception. That's what we went by.
Back then in 204, yeah.
It was never brought up to us. That's why
it's Lawrence,
it's never considered.
It's come from the office. If he's working with us.
Hey, you know, the only in your record, the only time that it was that question was ever raised as to why it should be heard was Bud Rickard, Norman Rickard, former board member, brought it up in one of the cases. There's a reference in the transcript about it that the question came up and he asked, and I think the question may have been posed to me, and it was one of those ones where I said, I presume this is something that the planning and zoning staff allowed to go through, and then there was a comment made from the planning zoning member
Susan.
I believe it was Susan.
It was Susan. Yep.
And she said there had been others granted in the park. As far as in our record, that's the only kind of time it had ever really been examined. And that's a real brief examination.
Yep.
Now, if you go back and you look at the transcript,
and rarely was anything ever questioned by the man who wrote the ordinance.
Right.
So in 2014, the gentleman, Mr. DeCristo, he did testify that he was going to construct a more hurricane resistant structure.
That's a VE you talk
no,
about?
It does not.
There you go.
Well, it didn't say the VE.
Well, but more.
But that's what it is.
That is two stories tall on top of pylons.
Yeah, but that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he, which is meeting the approval of the
he needed
straps and all that. He's doing everything.
Yeah. He needed to build a other than mobile home. He had to put on the property in order to be for it to meet that, criteria.
2012, Mr. Class testified that the dwelling will meet all Sussex County building code and flood zone elevation requirements.
2012.
Yep.
We adopted, the county adopted the 2012 International Building Code in 2013. Prior to that, any piling house in a VE zone had to be engineered from roof ridge to pilings to handle a wind load of 115 miles an hour. So he's going to comply, and that's the code that was in place in 2012.
If there's no more discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, obviously, I'm for the special exception, but I wouldn't know how to make a motion that covers all these bases.
Well, again, I think it's a multiple part determination here. The first one is, as I said before, your first.
Does it apply? Does
that section of code apply? And if so, you need to go through
the determination. Is that a separate?
I just have a question for Jamie. Since the board upheld the director's decision that this code does not apply, then back in 2017, then how do we work that in as well? Or they take that into consideration? I'm just
thinking
in my head. Like,
yeah, I think the board's taking that into consideration, and also the fact that we had a court decision on that case, that specific issue as well. I think Ms. Cornwall's question is one that you guys, the board did make a determination, Mr. Mears accepting because you weren't on the board at that time, but the rest of you were, that there was no section of the code that afforded this relief to the applicant. So that's the kind of a question that also is out there, that the board's previously made that determination. But the court basically said, but you didn't go back and you look at why you granted it before.
The other previous three.
I think we just did. Is what Ms. McGee read.
I just wonder if that manufactured home we just put up will meet the 115 mile an hour.
Well, the code changed. In 2013, we were removed from the 115 mile an hour wind rating.
Remove that, they did?
Hmm?
They removed the wind rating.
Mm-hmm. I can answer any new, anywhere in the county, if it's in flood, whatever flood it is, the building is required to comply with flood. The flood requirements. The county has adopted flood requirements, and any new construction in any floodplain is required to comply with floodplain requirements and is reviewed as such. And that was already part of the record.
And does building code and planning and zoning coexist?
Yes, actually, the person who reviews floodplain is actually in the planning office. So before any building code in the floodplain is reviewed, it comes through the planning office, goes through the reviewer who is licensed and is certified in flood review, reviews all of all permits for any flood review, make sure that it complies with flood.
So that we don't lose our federal funding.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, the determination, would that be a separate motion?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a motion that code 210III does not apply.
210A3I.
Yes. 210A3, I'm sorry.
And why? We need a reason why it doesn't apply.
Because it didn't apply to the previous?
Because it didn't apply to the previous.
The previous cases.
And the reason there also being that the prior cases that came before the board, it was not examined as to that specific part of the code. It was simply presented to the board as a means by which to have to examine a special use exception.
Right.
Is that right? Okay. And that goes along with probably what I saw in just reviewing the record here, and I quote from page 28 of the transcript of the hearing in September of 17, where I said, I think it was just a determination by the office that they could go ahead with the application at that time. A board member mentioned it was passed to us, and then Mr. Rickards said, yeah, that's the reason I asked the question, can you put a stick built in a mobile home park? And I got my answer. You all got your answer on that. And like I said, she can't go back. She doesn't know. You don't know why that determination. So the I think that's consistent with what I'm hearing, seeing head nods here, that it was not presented to the board at any point for whether it was a determination.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Second is motion.
A motion and a second. So by roll call vote, Mr. Calloway.
Aye.
Ms. Mears.
Aye.
I did it.
I'm going to
Ms. McGee.
Aye.
Mr. Workman.
Aye.
Mr. Mears.
Aye, sir.
And I do.
Phew.
Yeah.
Almost made it.
Now, the second part of this is, even though you've said it doesn't apply, I do think it would be to cover the record as to whether or not the special use exception stands. So if they were to put that up, whether it would substantially adversely affect the neighboring and adjacent properties. I don't think you have to analyze that because you've determined that this doesn't apply, but it might be helpful to have that decision in the record as well, right, since it was an application for that relief.
I mean, so, I don't recall any supported testimony that would suggest that it was. I mean, right, there was testimony that said, hey, you know, my view, but right, it wasn't supported by any documentation or real estate.
No paperwork.
Appraisers or anything that would suggest that.
It's verbal.
Well, who would think that they would need that? We deal with a lot of verbal in front of us.
But we'd ask like that. Most various people had bought stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah.
Well, I might, but I haven't been here.
Now, there's people that had bought stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Right. Well, I know you would.
Right. I mean, does it adversely affect? Perhaps. Substantially? Gosh, that takes pretty strong evidence.
Right.
I would think so.
Well, my thing is to, you know, put that. We have seen that they can put a manufactured home, recently in the last couple months, in that park.
But should they have to if they have an option?
I don't think so.
Where other people had the option to build a structure that will withstand these conditions.
Well, that ground's going to sink in the earth, into the bay anyway. So.
And if you want a view, why wouldn't you buy the adjacent property to the view?
Right. Yeah, that's automatic.
I'm not going. I don't care about the view.
Well, that was the opposition.
And the opposition.
Yeah, but that's not. I wasn't bringing that up. I was just bringing up that they can build within the criteria set for that area.
And that's the option.
Right.
You can do that, or you can apply for a special use exception.
And that's what they did.
And if you apply for a special use exemption,
then you just. Has to be proven that it will substantially.
It may have been, yes, it would have three houses ago, but now I think they've lost that.
Yeah,
if you've already got four, and there's what, 20?
You're, 20% there.
I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
To grant a special use exception for case 12,239.
Are you granting the special use exception, or are you just stating whether or not a stick-built dwelling there would not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring adjacent? Because I don't think we've just said that there's inapplicable for them to grant the special use exception.
Okay. So what do we do?
Well, what you could do is, if you wish, you could just revise your motion to say that I, notwithstanding the prior motion, I find that a stick-built dwelling as proposed by the applicant would not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. That's not granting them the permission to do it.
That's my motion as per Mr. Sharp.
Jimmy, you just said it's not let them doing it. What'd you just say?
We're just clarifying that the standard.
You can do it.
No, what we're saying is that they're not. The prior motion said there's nothing in the code that's applicable here.
Okay.
That allows them to grant that relief. But what we are saying is that if they were to build this, it would not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. It is not granting them permission to do that, though.
Okay.
So what are we doing then?
I mean, what are we doing?
Just making a finding on that point.
And then we make a motion after that?
No, that would be it. Because you just made a finding.
We already approved it.
What's that?
We approved it before.
So. You already made a motion that didn't apply, that 210A31 didn't apply.
Right, yeah.
So there's no special use exception that can be granted. But what we're saying is that, and this is one of the things, just because they applied for it, what I'm thinking is if for some reason it ever has to come back to you all, you don't have to have a hearing on this specific point as to whether what they're proposing substantially affects adversely the uses of neighboring adjacent properties. You're making a finding on that point in case it's ever
brought up again.
That's right.
So what happens to this particular case?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Okay, now I'm clear.
So we're going to vote on that.
We're going to vote on that. So
it is simply a finding, but it doesn't have anything to do with a permission granted.
Okay, particular property. Got it.
You got it. Oh, I ain't got it.
It's good.
It's good. It's good. Just.
We'll carry on after this motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as I don't lose.
Yeah, we'll move on to the next item of business after this part.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Workman.
Aye.
Mr. Calloway.
Aye.
Ms. McGee.
Aye.
Mr. Mears.
Aye.
And I too.
Okay. Now what?
Well, we'll come back before us for.
We have another case on the agenda.